not everybody can be a man. Or wants to be, yeah, okay. That too. Well, if you have your Bible, let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this evening. Boy, how good it is to see everybody here tonight. That's what happens, you go out of town and more people come, thinking you're going to stay out of town, I guess. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance all things that you said to us. And we ask you to do that tonight. I give myself to you, spirit, soul, and body, to bring forth your word accurately and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that each heart would not only hear the words from your word and the words from my mouth, but would also hear directly from the Holy Spirit concerning their life and concerning the situations that they're facing and concerning their own image of the world around them and themselves and such. In Jesus' name, we thank you that this word will change our lives forever. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were reading in chapter 3 a couple of weeks ago. In fact, let's look at chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." That's a mouthful, but we took time to unravel that a couple of weeks ago and to correlate that, to cross it with James, where James talked about a man who came and looked at himself in the mirror and he saw what kind of man he was, but he went away and forgot what kind of man he was. And James says that's just like a person who comes and looks into the Bible, God's Word, and sees who God has made him to be, and then walks away from the Bible back into everyday life, got caught up with what all is going on in his life or her life, and forgot who he was or who she was. Well, this says that we all with an unveiled face, meaning that we're not like the Jews, if you read the context, or we're not like people who can't clearly see what the Bible's talking about. We can. Us being born again, us having a regenerated spirit when we receive Jesus, we can look right into this Bible and see the Lord. We don't look at it and get confused and just be vague about it. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you read the Bible, there's not something that you need to find out and study and so on and so forth. But it means that you're not like before you were born again and you looked in it and it just didn't make any sense to you. You couldn't figure it out. Now, once you're born again, your spirit has the ability to look into this Bible and discern it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says that these words can't be understood with just the mind. They have to be spiritually discerned or spiritually seen into. Well, that's what this verse is talking about. It's saying that we can look into the mirror. The mirror is talking about this word. And we can see the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into the image, or in other words, to look like Jesus in our life, from glory to glory. Glory to glory means from phase to phase. It doesn't happen overnight, right? Even when you receive Jesus, your spirit instantly changed, but your whole life didn't instantly change. Some of you, after you got saved, you're still a cussing machine, right? And somebody might even say to you, "I thought you were a Christian. I can't believe you said, I thought you were a Christian." Hear you say something like that. Oh, you're not a Christian, right? I remember when we were in youth group, and this one young guy, he got saved, foul-mouthed guy, but he got saved. I'm telling you, God changed. He was so excited. So we thought, I'm going to bring him up on the platform and have him tell everybody about how excited he is. And he told people how effing excited he was. right there in church. I mean, he just let them know. I mean, this, you know, and he didn't know he said anything wrong. That's just the way he was raised. You understand what I'm saying? He was just telling us how excited he was. But all the kids go, "Oh." And I'm standing there, you just laugh. What are you going to do? You just laugh and you say, "Hey, I'm just glad you're in the family." And those things get taken care of in the process of time. Isn't that right? Along with anger, you know, losing your temper, and all those other things about the flesh.
as well as the way you think. It needs to be changed in the process of time. Your life will be changed a little at a time. That's what that means, glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, a little bit at a time, one level at a time, you begin to change. But what you need to do is continue to look into God's Word. Once you walk away from God's Word and forget, you'll begin instantly to digress back to where you were before. Christianity is like paddling upstream. All you have to do is stop paddling and you start going the other way. You don't have to paddle downstream. Just stop. Don't paddle upstream and you'll end up going downstream. It's just a natural law. Things degenerate. Things go down. They don't naturally go up. They have to be pushed up. There's a gravitation pull down to sin, to the flesh, to not reaching your potential, not being who God has called you to be. Now, once again, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image. And I gave you this illustration. When you couple that passage with the passage in James, and you're seeing that in the passage in James, you're looking into the mirror and seeing yourself. In this passage, you're looking into the mirror and you're seeing the image of Jesus. And I gave you the illustration of being in a house where the lights in the house are just in the right place to where you can stand in front of this window and be looking outside, but yet if you refocus your eyes, you can see the reflection off of the glass back to yourself. And that's looking into the Word. When you look into the Word, you can see into and right through the Word, and you can see Jesus. And the more you look into the Word and stay with it and keep reading it and reading it, a little at a time, glory to glory, you see more of Jesus, and you see how His heart is, and you see how He functions. You see His power. But the more you look at it, the more you see that you're like Him, and you were created in His image. And the more you see that you were created in His image, the more you see yourself that way, the more you walk away acting that way. Does that make sense? Like, for example, if somebody called you on the telephone and said, "Hey, are you the niece or the nephew of Aunt so-and-so?" "Well, yeah, I think I am. I've never met them, but I know that that was an aunt we've talked about." "Well, they died and left you $3 million." Yeah, it's just sitting here in an account. You just need to come sign for it. Now, that may take you a few days to really get used to that, but it won't take you too long, right? You could get used to that, right? But all of a sudden, you begin to see yourself as a millionaire. Now, it might take you a little bit of time. You might be shopping at Pick and Save and see something at Pick and Save and say, "Oh, I don't have the money for that," and all of a sudden it hits you. Yes, I do. I could buy this store if I wanted to. You know, and it just hits you that you're not who you used to be. Well, that's the way it is in the Word. You were changed. You were bought with a price. You were radically changed by God, but you don't know it. You're not convinced of it. You say it, "Oh yeah, I'm different now," but you're not convinced because you have to keep looking into this and not only seeing Jesus, but seeing the reflection of who you are, which looks like Him, see? Until you're convinced of it and you walk away and somebody else say, "No, you're not," and you say, "Yes, I am. I'm just like Him. We're twins. I look just like Him. I've got the same spirit that He has. I've got the same power that He has. I've got the same authority that He has. I'm a joint heir. I've got the same right to come to the throne of the Father and ask the Father for things." That'll change your life. See, we're talking about this series, what you see is what you get. Now, we also looked at chapter 4, verse 18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Weird scripture when you read it the first time. Don't look at what you see, only look at what you can't see. Right? Huh? See, but that's the same deal. Look at things that are eternal. In other words, look into the spirit realm. Somebody says, "How do I look into the spirit realm?" The only accurate way to do that is to do it through God's Word. God has written down His Word. And you remember we went over the whole idea, some of you haven't heard this yet, of how words paint pictures. Like if I say frog, green frog, fat green frog, big, fat green frog smiling at you, right? How many of you can see that dumb frog? Can you see him in your mind? You can see that frog, right? Now, when I said frog, your mind didn't picture an F, an R, an O, and a G, right? Unless you're some kind of an English major or something like that, you know. No, you pictured that dumb frog, right? Watch. The frog sticking his tongue out at you. Can you see him? Can you see that frog? See, words paint pictures. And all of us grew up in an environment where we were hearing words. And those words were going into our ears and painting pictures. For many of us, those pictures were painted saying that we're not very good. We'll never amount to anything. Telling us how dumb we were, how not good looking we were. We didn't measure up in some kind of a way. And what that does is it creates insecurity. We don't have self-confidence. And so you begin to live without the self-confidence. And that lack of self-confidence begins to produce results. But just think, if you convince somebody of how sharp they are, and every time they had a good idea, you say, man, you just come up with ideas. You know what they'll do? They'll keep coming up with ideas. And even if not all the ideas are good, because they are so confident that they can come up with good ideas, eventually they will come up with good ideas. Do you see what I'm saying? Words paint pictures. Well, when you get born again, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and you're changed, you need to know accurately who you are. You need to have the right picture of yourself on the inside. And the only way to get an accurate picture is to go back to what God said about the born-again man or woman and let God's Word paint the accurate pictures of who you really are, so that you can in your heart see yourself as you are, walk as you are, and then reap the results of a powerful, born-again man of God or woman of God. But until that, you can sit in church, you can be a Christian all your life, you can even read the Bible here and there, but if you don't allow the Bible to change your image of who yourself and convince you that you're not just a human being struggling like everybody else, but you are a winner, you are more than a conqueror, you have authority over all the power of the enemy, then it won't change you. And you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But see, it's not life-changing. Because what you see in here is what you get. And you can tell people that really have confidence in these things because they're not complaining all the time. People that are complaining all the time, they don't have confidence in who they are in God. So they're always looking for people to make them happy. They're always looking for people to treat them just right or create the environment that makes them comfortable. And when they're disappointed, they complain. You know why? Because they have no confidence that God is fighting for them. They have no confidence that God's going to promote them. They're looking to their boss, or they're looking to their spouse, or they're looking to their friend constantly, because they have no confidence that they are a child of the Almighty Living God who made promises to them to supply for them everything that they ever need. See, there's no confidence there. They may know that if you ask them in a religious setting like a church, you say, is God your provider? Oh, yes, brother, God's my provider. Yes, amen. Well, is God the one who promotes? Yes, God promotes me. Well, why are you so upset at your boss? Because he gave it to that other guy. See what I mean? Just instantly, you get it out of a religious setting, and they instantly go back to just a natural way of thinking like every other person. Why? Don't spend enough time in the Word. Didn't let the Word paint a picture that you really are the King's kid. And ain't nobody can mess with you. You understand? Even if your boss did give it to somebody else. I remember that my dad worked for McDonnell Douglas for nearly 30 years. And McDonnell Douglas was one of those companies that would get these large military contracts. And then the contract would be over, or the government would change it, and all of a sudden they'd lay a bunch of people off. And they'd hire a bunch of people, and then they'd lay a bunch of people off. And many of you know what that is. Boeing has now merged with McDonnell Douglas, and it's the big Boeing company now. But I remember over the years that they'd come up with these layoffs. You know, we're going to lay people off. We've got to lay so many thousands of people off and so on. And I remember quite a number of times that my dad's boss would come and say, hey, just wanted to let you know we're going to have to do some layoffs and you're on the list. Well, my dad would come home and tell the family, hey, got some bad news today, but we got to remember we're tithers. And the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer for tithes. See, that's a different picture. Do you understand? If you just look at the picture like everybody else does, well, they told me I'm going to get laid off. I better start looking. Well, there was another picture in their heart saying, yeah, but we're tithers. The Bible said if we're tithe, for those of you that don't know what that is, a tithe means tenth. Tithing is giving 10% of your income. It's something the Bible says to do. Malachi chapter 3 says, God says, you've been stealing from me by not tithing. But if you tithe, prove me, test me, God says, and see if I won't rebuke the devourer for your sake and pour out such blessing on you. You won't have room enough to receive it, and so on and so forth. Well, my parents said, hey, we're tithers. And so we're believing God here. He never in all the years got laid off, even though they were telling him. In fact, one time the boss came and said, hey, just want to let you know, our department has to make this many cuts and layoffs along with all the other departments, and so there's just not any way I can keep you. So we'll let you know when we get ready to do it, but just want to let you know it's coming. Well, it wasn't too long till my dad found out that his boss got laid off. So the boss's boss decided that that was where that department needed to cut. They cut the boss. My dad never did lose his job. Just sailed right on through. Now, you see, let me explain something to you. Somebody says, wow, you got lucky, huh? Well, you can call it luck if you want to, but isn't it interesting how some people get lucky over and over and over and over and over? Right? We're talking about a different picture on the inside, that when everything is chaotic around you, the picture on the inside is more powerful than the picture on the outside. What you see is what you get. It's called faith when you get right down to it. Believing what God said more than you believe what anybody else says. Yeah, but I know, Jerry, it's going to happen this time because look. Look at what? While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. Now, let's come right down. We're in that 18th verse, the last verse of chapter 4. I want to come right down. Let's see. In fact, let's do this. Let's back up into that chapter. Let's back all the way up to the beginning of the chapter. Therefore, we just got done reading the mirror there in verse 18 of chapter 3. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel was veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In other words, people who are not saved, people who haven't received Jesus. It's veiled to those people. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Do you understand? We're talking about what you see is what you get. And notice it says, whose minds the God of this age has, not whose eyes, whose minds. He hasn't blinded them physically so that they can't see the circumstances. He wants them to see the circumstances. He's blinded them in their minds, in the way that they think, their thought processes, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So notice here that very clearly Satan has an agenda to blind people's minds from seeing things correctly. Now, we're not talking about the eyes. We're not talking about seeing circumstances. It's easy to see circumstances. Isn't that true? I mean, you look at your checkbook, and if you're the type of person that when you write a check, you don't carry it all the way across and deduct from the total right then because you're too busy. Right? You're at the grocery store, and there's somebody else waiting in line. You don't have time to do it right then. Well, then the next place you go, you don't have time to do it there either because you're busy. And then you do that 3 or 4, 5, 10, 15 times. Then you figure, you know what I need to do? I need to go add all of that up. And you get down to where you're not quite done, but you're done. The money's done. But you still wrote checks, right? Like that kid said, hey, Mom, can I get this toy? No, we can't get the... Why? I don't have the money. You have checks, right? If you have checks, then they assume you have money. Well, you look at that checkbook, and that checkbook says, bad news. Isn't that right? Bad news. See, circumstances. Nobody has a problem looking at circumstances. Nobody. If you're sick in your body, you can feel that. I mean, it's with you all the time. Circumstances. Nobody has a problem with circumstances. That pain. It's right there. It's with you all the time. But that's not even what this is talking about. Satan's not blinding you from seeing the circumstances. He doesn't want you to see that you are an overcomer of those circumstances. He's more concerned about you not seeing the right thing inside than he is outside. Do you understand? God says, I want you to see the real picture. How many of you ever had a problem? You've had some kind of a dilemma in your job or at home or whatever, and you just couldn't figure it out. And all of a sudden, it came to you. I see it. I know what to do. You ever had that happen? Now, nothing changed out here. It's still the same problem, right? But in here, the light bulb went on. Ding. And you thought, I know what to do. Has that ever happened to you? Nobody? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope at least one time everybody has had one idea that would solve a problem. And all of a sudden you know what to do. Now, why? Did the picture out here change? No. In here, all of a sudden you remember, oh, you know what I forgot? I've had that happen when I'm working on something out in the garage, and I couldn't quite get something happen. All of a sudden I remembered, man, I got a tool that I bought some time ago just for this. And it just hit me. I've got a tool for that. Man, I forgot. I don't use it often enough to even remember. And I go reach in and think, bam, 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 there it is. Man, I had a tool all that time. But I've been struggling with it, trying to, you know, use a screwdriver for a hammer or the wrong. You ever try to use the wrong tool on something and you're beating the snot out of something? Right? But then you remember, I've got a tool. That's the way this is. You've got things available to you that because you don't use them very often, you forget you have them. And you run into problems and you beat those problems with human abilities instead of with God's ability. Here, you've got the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, every knee in the whole spiritual realm will bow to that name when you come walking down the spiritual street with that name, with some confidence behind that name, and say, in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, you just said something. But if you don't have any confidence that that's going to work, you won't even remember you have that. And you'll sit there and look at your checkbook and cuss at it and cry on it and get discouraged and walk around. And what are you doing? You're using human tools. Worry, right? Forgetting that the wealthiest being in the universe is your provider. And he promised to help you. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Changing the picture. But the enemy doesn't want you to do that. He's blinded the minds. Now, how does he blind minds? The same way that God paints accurate pictures in your heart, the enemy blinds you from seeing accurate pictures. First of all, he keeps you from being in God's Word. You ever notice how you have time for TV, but there's no time for the Word? Right? Because TV must take up less time. Right? Takes up less time than the Bible. That's why you always have time for TV, but you don't have time for the Word of God. Have you ever noticed that? Because the Word just takes so much more time than the television does. No, what is it? There's a natural force that keeps you from being able to paint these pictures, so you paint the other pictures. Now, what is it on TV that you watch? Because whatever is going into your eyes and whatever is going into your ears is painting pictures. So, if you watch scenes that have a lot of love and romance, sensual things in them, it goes into your ears and into your heart. And guess what pictures it's creating in you? And so guess what you're going to have a tendency to be drawn toward? Those pictures in your heart. Because what you see is what you get. Whether you like it or not. Did you know that? whether you like it or not. I've had people come and talk to me, and thank God they did, but say, man, I'm really struggling with lust and things, really. Yeah, and I said, hey, you know, the enemy is all about that. And so we begin, yeah, but I just can't seem to get free from that. So I said, okay, let's start talking about things, you know. What do? What do you listen to? What do you watch? Well, I mean, not that much. Well, yeah, but what? Start naming it all. Oh, you watch that? Yeah. What's your favorite show? Baywatch. Oh. Could have guessed it, you know. You know, I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to Howard Stern. Right? Mr. Perverse himself. Verbal pornography. Words paint pictures. Is that true or is it not? Can you see that frog? Right? Howard Stern paints pictures all the time. Doesn't he? I said, doesn't he? And, you know, I could go right down the list. He's an extreme version, but people are trying to keep their ratings. They're trying to keep up with him. But you don't have to go that extreme to be over in the realm that you don't want to be. Isn't that true? Well, I listen to this DJ. He's funny, is he? Yeah. Does he paint you accurate pictures of the word and truth and who you are? Or is he painting pictures of how all of us guys are perverted people who are always looking for the score and always looking to get something sexual, always looking at that and those and this and that. See what I'm saying? See, they train your mind to think that way because you listen to them. And those words go in and they paint those pictures. And you know what? You become that. And what you see is what you get. I can't figure out why I'm struggling. Well, that's why you're struggling. Proverbs chapter 4 says, my son, give attention to my words. Keep your eyes fixed on my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. And then verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart. Son, protect your heart. Protect, why? Because your whole life comes out of your heart. If you allow those words and those pictures from television or just walking around and checking out people, if you allow those pictures to come in your mind, looking at the billboards. See, God showed me when I was much younger, back when I was a teenager, opened my eyes to this in Mark chapter 4, where God sows seed. And some of that seed couldn't come up because of the thorny ground. And I began to do studies on this. Why are there thorns in people's hearts? So that God's word goes in there, but it gets choked out and it becomes unfruitful. The powerful word of God doesn't bear fruit. It gets choked. By what? By thorns. What are thorns? Other things that were planted in there. Things about you that God, that are not true. You're not a perverse person. You're not somebody that's always looking at people sexually. You're not that way. You weren't created that way. You're a born-again person. But if you allow those words to come into your mind and allow those pictures to come into your mind, it will paint that picture and you will walk in the flesh. You will struggle with pornography. You will struggle with lust constantly. Why? Because you have allowed your heart to be penetrated with wrong pictures, whether by pictures visually or by words in your ears. It's amazing to me the kind of music that people listen to. And God opened my eyes to this whole thing. It's amazing to me the music that people, Christians, who want to paint accurate pictures of who they are in their heart, and yet listen to music that if you just take away the beautiful tune that makes it so pretty and so, had got that groove, you know, that you like so much, take all that away and just read the lyrics. Right? And you read those and you say, you know what? That's not right. What that's talking about? It's just talking about sex. And it uses love. And tonight's the night. And it's talking about, I mean, it's just gearing. And it keeps our mind. And we're just going around singing it, you know, through the mall and through the store and at the restaurant. We're just singing that stuff. And we don't realize that those are words going in. Oh, it doesn't affect me. Oh, but it does. It does. It always does. It will affect you. You can't get away from it. See? Now, you have to, as a Christian, make a decision of how serious you are about being effective in the kingdom of God. I made the decision. I don't want to be halfway. I mean, you sit on the fence, you get splinters. You don't want to be there. Man, when God changed me with the Word, I made a decision. I'm not going halfway with this. I'm not going to ask like a lot of people do, well, how much of that music can we listen to? See, they're always, how far can we go? It's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. How much can I get away with and still please God? It's the wrong question. You know, it's like asking your spouse, how much do you mind if I check out these other ladies? Huh? I mean, I don't want to do it more than you're comfortable with. I made the decision, you know what? I want the Bible and God's principles to work for me. And so what I did is I just got on the diving board and I just dove in to the Word of God. I'm just going to get in a little bit because it's cold, you know. You try to get in the pool like that, it takes you a half an hour to get in that thing. Suffering the whole time. Just get down there at the deep end, just jump in. Right? I just jumped into this book and it changed my life. And I realized who I was. And I realized I wasn't a loser, I was a winner. I realized that God had a plan for me. I realized that I can do something in the kingdom of God. I can speak words from me, from my mouth, and demons go, just take off. Why? Because I'm a bad dude in the spirit. I didn't know that. I've been a Christian all these years. Didn't know that till I got into the Word, and it painted pictures inside of me that told me, you're in charge. I gave you the authority. Yeah, I thought that was just kind of a scripture. No, that's you. That's you. You are in charge. You don't let Satan treat you that way. You don't let him strap that bondage on you. You don't let him take away those finances. You don't let him take away your health. Jesus paid for that. It belongs to you now. By his stripes, you are healed. Not if God's in a good mood and you're looking decent today, he might do it.
That's right.
See, you get in the Word and the Word says it straight up and it changes you on the inside, changes your self-confidence. It changes your image. And you begin to walk around like, all right, come on, run up, Satan. What you got? You better give it a good shot because it's gonna cost you. You see what I'm saying? Oh, Pastor Jerry, don't you be talking about the devil like that. You might make him mad. What do you think he's been? Well, he might really do something. What do you think he's been doing? Right? It's time that we wake up and realize that he obeys us, not the other way around. And you can stand up and pray and say, in the name of Jesus, it's going to be the way God said it was going to be in my life. And I'm not going to let Satan come in and steal my family and steal all the things that God has provided for me. I'm going to get up and declare who I am and remind him of who whipped him and remind him that I'm wearing the armor of the one who whipped him and I've got the sword of the one who whipped him and the power of the Holy Spirit that was in the one who whipped him is in me and I'm going to whip him again if he gets close. But that confidence doesn't just come. And let me tell you this. Don't expect just to stand up and talk real brave and things to happen if you don't have that self-confidence. If you don't have the confidence in the Word of God to do it. Don't expect just to. I've seen people get up there and just mimic. You know, trying to talk real. You know what? It doesn't matter how loud you are. Oh, said leave. You know, you act all tough and everything like Satan's going to say, ooh, did you hear his voice? Ooh, he's mad now. No, that's not going to do it. It has to be the faith in your heart. It has to be you seeing yourself. Now, We're here and we've been studying in 2 Corinthians. Look down at the 5th chapter. Here's one of the passages that the Lord opened my eyes to, and I want the Lord to open your eyes to this tonight. How many of you are familiar with verse 17? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want you to raise your hand if you're familiar with that verse. You've heard that verse before. All right, that's got to be 80 to 90% in here. All right, everybody, look up at me. No, right here. If you're not looking at me, you're not looking at me. Okay. Somebody raise your hand that can quote verse 16. Don't look at it. Raise your hand and quote verse 16. Huh? You know verse 17, huh? What about verse 16? Don't have a clue what it says, do you? I want to back up and look at verse 16 because verse 17 is a continuation. Notice verse 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Regard means we see, we picture, we look at no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that when you look at somebody who became a Christian that, look at that, hey, that you got saved, huh? I could tell, yeah, your hair's a different color. Yeah, look at that. It's a lot better than that other color. Yeah, I don't know what that was, you know. Boy, it just looks, man, and all the wrinkles are gone from your skin. No, it's all the same. He's not saying that you just look at a person that received Jesus and you see something new. He's saying we make a decision to see them that way. Notice again, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, let's back up to verse 14. I'll show you why. For the love of God compels us because we judge thus. We judge things this way. That if one died for all, then all died. He says, we judge it this way. If one died for all, then all died. If Jesus really did die in your place, in everybody's place, He says, we just judge it like this, everybody's already died for their sins. He said, that's just the way we're going to see it from now on. That's just the way we judge it. If one died for all, then all died. And it goes on to say, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard or see no one according to the flesh, what they look like on the outside. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is the way we see them. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Notice the word behold. What does behold mean? Behold, all things have become new. What does that mean? See it that way. Yeah, but I got saved and nothing changed, man. Look, I'm still struggling with this. Yeah, I know that. See, He didn't say here that it's just going to happen naturally. He's saying we are judging and making a conscious decision to see it this way. That if you're in Jesus, we're going to look at you as if everything's changed. And we're going to begin to treat you that way and talk to you that way. Why? So that our words of truth about you will come into your ears and into your heart and paint pictures accurately of who you are now. You already know who you were. Everybody's told you. You look like this and your personality's like this and this is what irritates us and so on. You already know all of that. What you don't know is since you got born again, how changed you are, and that your potential just exploded. You don't know that. So from now on, we're going to just regard you and see you that since Jesus, we don't see Him in the flesh anymore. He's a resurrected, powerful Savior. You're in Christ. We're going to see you as that one that's been raised up with Him and seated in heavenly places. And we're going to begin to see you that way and talk to you that way so that you can see yourself that way and become that way. Now, this absolutely changed my life because I began to look into this and begin to say, okay, from now on, I don't see myself. I started with myself. I don't see myself according to the flesh. I'm going to stop looking at where I struggle. And when I sin and I fall down, I'm going to stop being so conscious of that and condemned. Oh, I messed up again. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, God, I messed up again. You know, I sin. And I just, that sin consciousness. And I was so aware of my shortcomings. I was so aware of my flesh and my mind and where I wasn't measuring up in that part of me. Instead of concentrating on who I was in the Spirit, I'm a new person. Do you understand? See, now if this was easy, everybody would be doing it. But you got to catch this. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. No, they haven't. Old things have passed away. Yeah, but they haven't. I'm still doing it. I did it again. Old things have passed away. Yeah, but they didn't. Have passed away. Behold, I don't see it. All things. Well, not everything. All things. See how our minds think? Well, some things have changed, but not everything. I'm still dealing with this. Right? See? Now, God is not talking about denial here. You're not denying and, you know, you sin and somebody says, that was a sin. I didn't do that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. I'm a new creation. I didn't do that. No. That's not what God's talking about. He's not talking about denial. You fess up. If you did something, fess up. Say, yeah, that was wrong. That was wrong. That's wrong. Confess it. You have to confess your sins. But what he's saying here is don't stand there and keep looking at your shortcomings and looking at the flesh, because all it does is draw you to be like that. Get over here and say and think about who you are. And here's what God taught me to do. It goes back to that meditation that we talked about way back at the beginning of this series from Joshua 1:8, where God says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you meditate. Meditate is thinking and saying at the same time. And so I used to walk around my bedroom. In fact, I had this big bedroom. David used to have this bedroom too after I did. And I just walk around this big bedroom. It's a great bedroom to pray in. It's got a big old closet too if you want to go in there. Just pray. Man, I just walk around this bedroom and I'd say, man, I'm a new creation. I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. My mind is screaming, yeah, but what about what you did? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Right? And your mind's saying, oh, be honest. And I was, back in those days, see, I'm still a teenager. I was struggling with some things. I didn't have my flesh all under control. But in my heart, I wanted so bad to be everything God had called me to be. I just couldn't figure out how to get my flesh to go along with me. I couldn't figure out how to get my mind to keep from thinking wrong thoughts. But in my heart, I wanted so bad to go for it and to be everything that God wanted me to be. And it's what God taught me to do. God says, look at yourself as to who you are in the spirit, man. Not the flesh, not the mind. Don't pay attention to that. We regard no one according to the flesh. Don't regard yourself that way anymore. Yeah, if you sin, confess it and say, God, I sinned, receive forgiveness for it. But go right back to who you are in the Spirit from now on. And so I just walk around and I say, I'm a man of God. And at first, I'm telling you, it was the most awkward thing to hear myself say that. I am a man of God. It sounded like the biggest fat lie. I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have become new. Old things have all passed away. All that stuff I'm dealing with, that's all passed away in Jesus' name. I just started walking around getting confident about it. Now, see, I was by myself. I couldn't have done it if somebody else was in there because I'd have felt so foolish and so silly and so insecure about it. I had to be by myself walking around saying that over and over and over, day after day after day after day, saying that. But you know what it did? Those words of meditating these words, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Then we got down to this. Well, let me finish reading this. Look how powerful this is. Think of yourself this way. If anyone is in Christ, he is or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, see that all things have become new. Now look at verse 18. Now all things are of God. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. Says it right there in God's Word. Now all things are of God. Yeah, but they're not. See, that's the way you see it. And because you see it that way, that's the way you live it. Right? You can take a pig out of the mud and bring him into the house and put him in the tub, turn the shower on, and get him all cleaned off, rinsed off, and take some Dial soap and scrub him all up. Get a little shampoo because he's got a little bit of hair. Just the right amount of hair, if you ask me. Get him all cleaned up, rinse all that soap off, pull him out of the tub, and put a big old black bow tie on him, and spray some Polo cologne on him. And there he is, looking so handsome and sharp, Mr. Polo Pig, right there. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Right? Little bit of right guard under the... Are they armpits? Leg pits? All looking good, smelling good. There he is, right? And you walk outside and let him go, and what does he do? Broom, broom, broom. Right back in the mud. Why? Because you changed the outside, but you didn't change his picture of who he was. Inside, he still thinks pig. Isn't that right? And you know what happens to us as Christians? God saves us and literally not only changes, just, you know, rinsing us off on the outside. God goes right down into who we are, our spirit, and changes the core, the inner man, the Bible calls the spirit, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. God changed the real you down in there, changed you. But your mind didn't change. So you still think pig. You still think sinner. And you're not. You're a saint. You're powerful. You're anointed. You're godly. You've got authority. You can overcome all of those things that have come against you. You're more than a conqueror. But you just don't know it. Now all things are of God. Know that. Shut up. Yes, they are. And I want you to start saying that they are. And start convincing your mind that you're not the same person that you used to be. That you've got the ability now to overcome all of these things that come against you with the power of God's Word. See? Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now listen to verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Do you see the exchange? God made Jesus, who knew no sin. He never did sin. Ever. To be sin for or in place of us. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I took that and I started meditating on that. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him.
I'm the righteousness of God in Him. I'm not a sinner. And my mind said, yeah, but look what you did. You just struggled again yesterday. I mean, yeah, but I'm not a sinner. No, I'm the righteousness of God. And see, God taught me to stop meditating on what I did wrong and start meditating on who I was. What am I doing? I'm looking into God's Word, into this image, and I'm seeing Jesus, but I'm also seeing myself. And the more I look at it, the more I look like Him. And my mind says, yeah, but you don't look over here. No, I'm not looking over there. I don't look at the things which are seen. I don't regard myself according to the flesh. I see myself according to what God's Word says I am. And I begin to say it over and over and over, and I'm the righteousness of God. One day, it broke loose in here. I mean, just like an explosion. And when it broke loose here, it broke loose here. My eyes started just, I'm telling you, not just tearing up, dripping, leaking. Kind of like, I felt like the cartoons, you know, where the tears are going out this way, you know, like the sprinkler system. As soon as it exploded in here, I said, I am the righteousness of God in, boom, that thing hit me, that I really am. I'd been saying it all, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of times I had said that. And all of a sudden, it hit me. I am. I've got an in with God. I don't have to struggle with this stuff. That's not me. I'm not that sinner. I really am changed. Changed everything. Now I walk right into the throne room of God, say, hello, Father, bless your name. I worship you today, and I thank you for all that you've done for me. And I've got some things to ask of you. Somebody says, yeah, but you don't have a right just to walk. Yes, I do. You may not, but I do. See, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I walk in with righteousness that I received as a gift from the Lord Jesus. And if you tell me that righteousness is not good enough, you better back off when you say it. Better get out of arm's reach to say that the Lord Jesus doesn't have righteousness that's good enough. Right? I'm walking in with what He gave me. Yeah, but what about what you did? Who? No. I don't look at the flesh. I've already confessed that, received forgiveness. That's gone. No. I'm the righteousness of God. Well, did you lose your righteousness when you sinned? No. You know why? Because the righteousness lives in my spirit. Sin is in the flesh. I didn't lose that righteousness. See, when you catch that, you mean you were righteous when you were sinning? Yes. But what if you sinned and Jesus came right then and you hadn't confessed that sin? Would you go to heaven? Yes. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You understand? It's my spirit that determines whether I'm in the family or not, not my flesh. Thank God. Isn't that true? Thank God. Can you imagine every time my son Jonathan disobeyed? Ah, you're out of the family, bud. Pack your clothes, pal. You're out. Dad, forgive me, Dad. Okay, we'll let you back in the family. Okay, let's change his name back to Dearman. Can you imagine that? No, it's ridiculous. And that's not the way God is either. Not the way God is either. But what I'm talking about is, you will not be able to change your attitudes and behavior until you see yourself the way you really are. You'll not be able to reach your potential until you see yourself the way that you really are. Some of you in here, you look down on yourself so much and you've limited yourself. The enemy has blinded you and he's told you can't do it. You're held down. Somebody, you know, I can't do it because of this. I've got this problem, or I'm like this, or people treat me like this, or I have this or that, or you know, I've already messed things up. See, you're looking at everything in the natural, not realizing that you have a direct link with the Almighty One, and if God is for you, who can be against you? There is no promotion that can pass you by. There is no opportunity. There is no person on the earth that can stop you from being what God has called you to be if you can see yourself that way from God's Word, looking into this perfect law of liberty and saying, that is who I am, and declaring it by faith until you believe that and walk around and say, that's it, that's who I am. And then let me tell you what happens. Sin starts coming up to tempt you again, that same old sin. And you say, oh, that's not who I am anymore. Yeah, sorry, that's not me. See, you don't even see yourself like that anymore. And those pig temptations come. Oh,
I forgot to tell you, I'm not a pig anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. See? And your old buddy say, what are you talking? Come on, smoke this, drink this. Come on, let's go to this part. Let's go do this. Come on, let's go watch this. Let's listen to this. And you say, not anymore. That's not who I am. I got a new life. I'm brand new. Now my potential is unlimited. God's got something for me, and I'm not letting it go. How does that happen? That happens by allowing your heart to see accurate pictures. Doing two things. Taking God's word in abundance. And allowing it to paint pictures. Meditating. Saying, I cannot emphasize enough the power of meditation. Not just reading. Meditating. Take some of these verses and just go over them about 2,000 times. And change the picture in your heart. And then the other thing is protect your ears and eyes. Don't let anything come in your eyes that are going to paint wrong pictures. Don't let anything come in your ears. Verbal pornography. Or anything else. Jokes and everything else. Don't be around that kind of stuff that paints the wrong pictures. Let me give you one quick illustration that the Holy Spirit just reminded me about. I remember Dr. Cho, pastor of the largest church in the world. I think they haven't grown too much in recent years. They're only up to about 750,000 members. Haven't hit a million yet. They're struggling, you know. But I remember in the early years of the ministry, and God was doing powerful healings by him teaching the word, to get into the word and meditate on the word and allow your heart and your mind to see yourself the way the Bible says you are. By his stripes we are healed. Begin to see that as something that Jesus actually did, and it actually affects you. And this lady came to him that had a big growth in her neck. I believe, I don't remember if it was a goiter or a tumor, but she had this big deal that, you know, obviously the doctors were really struggling with what they were going to try to do with this. It was just, it had gone way out of, you know, reach. Should have been taken care of a long time ago. For one reason or another, it hadn't. And she came to him and wanted him to pray for her. Well, he'd prayed for many people and they've been healed and so on. But he told her, I'm not going to pray for you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible and go up to Prayer Mountain. It's this place that they have where people just go up and pray. I want you to go up there, and I want you to take a pen and a paper with you, and I want you to write 1 Peter 2:24. Oh, I think he told her something like, I don't know, something outlandish, like 10,000 times. And he said, every time you write it, I want you to say it. And so she'd write it. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And she'd say it. And she'd write it again. Then she'd say it. She'd write it again. And she'd say it. And she did that for days. Just stayed up there. Just slept up there. They have places where you can sleep there. Just said it over and over and over and over. And she got toward the end of how many times he said to do it and hadn't even realized that that thing was gone. Completely gone. Just disappeared. But what she did realize was, in the process of saying that over and over, by whose stripes you were healed. She kept saying it. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Can you imagine saying that over and over? Not gonna be. Not if God's in a good mood. By whose stripes you were healed. And that scripture of going over and over and meditating that changed the picture in her heart of something that she was hoping that God would be so benevolent to look down upon her suffering and pain and be in a good mood or have mercy and say, be healed or touch her. No, she just took what God had already said in his word. By whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. You were not going to be. See what I'm saying? See, so often we read the Bible and we don't catch that it's not saying, we look at that and say, maybe healed, going to be healed. Someday I believe God's going to heal, going to get. No, were. By whose stripes you were And she just meditated on that, and it changed the picture, and she began to see that she was healed, but didn't even take the time to stop to check. And when she did, it was gone. That's the power of God's Word changing the picture in your heart. And you seeing it that way. And it just starts, then it starts changing the scene realm. See? Change it here first. If you don't see it here, you can't get it to happen out here. You're just dependent on luck or circumstances changing, and sometimes they happen and you go, hey, praise God. And sometimes it wasn't even God. See, out there in the world, people get ups and downs, right? Is every up God and every down not? No. See, so every up that you have is not necessarily God either. What God wants us to do is change the picture in here so that we're having up, and then the valley comes. No, I said up, and the valley comes. Back up, right? Are you going to have problems? Yes. But are you an overcomer of all those problems? Yes. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank God for the Word. Praise God. Close your eyes and lift your hands up. And let's thank God for His Word tonight. Go ahead, right out of your mouth. Just say things like, thank you, Father, for your powerful Word. Thank you for the Word of truth. I thank you that the Bible, the Word of God, is more true than anything else that I can see or imagine. That's who I am now. Praise God. Now keep your eyes closed and everybody say this. Say, I'm a child of God. And I refuse to see myself as an old sinner. The person of the past. That insecure person. That limited person. That person that sins a lot. Bound with sin. I refuse to be that person because I've been changed. I'm born again. And I decide to see myself the way the Bible says I am. God's Word is truth. I'm a believer. I believe the Bible. I see myself as a new person in Christ. Old things have passed away. Past tense. All things have become new. Past tense. I'm new. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not a sinner. I'm right with God. By the blood of Jesus, I can walk right in to the throne room of God without any guilt. Without any condemnation, because that's who I am. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm free from sin. I've got the name of Jesus. I overcome my enemies. They come against me one way. They flee from me seven ways. I'm above only. I'm not below. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm blessed of God. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No weapon, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon. I put on the armor of God. I can stand against the wiles of the devil. He cannot overcome me. I cannot be defeated because I stand on the Word of God. I have the name of Jesus, the name above every name. And at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God in me. Therefore, I'm right with God, and I can come to you, O God, pure and righteous, without shame or guilt, to receive from you everything I need to be everything you've called me to be. I can do this because of what you did for me in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.